Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Verses 25 through 37, Luke chapter 10. Father, thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege and the opportunity you give us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to know your heart, to know your will, and to be able to live that out. Thank you for the privilege of being involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to be ambassadors and witnesses that daily tell the world that Jesus really is the answer to all the problems, the trials, and the issues. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be involved in the wonderful work of telling the good news of Jesus Christ each and every day. Stir us to be faithful ambassadors, daily being involved in the work, the wonderful work of evangelism that you call us to. Stir us to be involved faithfully and passionately involved in the wonderful work of discipleship, helping to make disciples every single day. And stir us to be a people who are full of the spirit of compassion. Help us to know, Lord, that the world is hurting in so many ways. And Lord, in particular, as we look at the issue of life today, help us and empower us to be a church that hears your heart and has your heart to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you called us to love like you love, to be compassionate like you are compassionate, and to take a stand boldly for that which is right when it comes to life and every other issue as well. Thank you for the chance to be the church that does just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we're grateful to have our producer, Rick Robertson, of course, who's our producer on a daily basis. Rick is going to come on, and he's going to share with us, share a word of prayer about the issue of life as we look at this issue and focus on it today.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you thankful today. Thankful for your precious Son, Jesus, who died a terrible death on a cross for sinners like us. So first, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for this peace we have inside because of that. Father, our hearts break, and don't break enough, but our hearts break over the lives taken daily all across America, little bitty babies, Father, who are being murdered. And God, we pray for the women who are going through that, Father. Pray that you would, the ones who've had an abortion, that you would give them strength and give them, that they would see their need for forgiveness through you.
Yes, Lord.
And God, we pray for the churches all across America. We pray for wisdom and grace for the pastors, for the church members to address this pro-life issue, this issue of little babies dying, Father, that they would respond to that in the way that you would want them to.
Yes, Lord.
God, whether that's locking arms with a pro-life clinic near them or whatever that would be, Father.
Jesus.
And God, we just pray that you would open up eyes, first of all, to the need to do that as church members.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for the courage for the congregation, for the pastors to do what you would have them to do, to stand up for the murder of children in America.
Thank you, Lord.
God, thank you for the mercy that you show us day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick, for praying with us this morning. And again, to every single listener, I want to remind and encourage you, please pray daily for the work and the ministry of the American Family Association. We very much desire and need your prayers. And also particularly, I want to challenge every single listener today specifically to pray for the church, that we would rise to the occasion to be the church God wants us to be insofar as addressing the issue of standing for life and standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. I think of this fact that today specifically we're looking at the topic of mobilizing the church for life. Again, mobilizing the church for life. And January is considered Sanctity of Human Life Month, and many churches celebrated what is known as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, either this past Sunday or the Sunday before. Well, it's good for churches to be strong, passionate witnesses for life. That's something that we can't overemphasize. As we begin our time, I want to invite you to look with us in the Word of God. I want to share several different verses and passages that lay before us God's heart on the issue of life and standing for life and the need for us to both stand faithfully for life and against the tragedy of abortion. What does the Bible really say about the issue of life as it relates to focusing on this issue? Let's look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to begin with. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it tells us, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Now listen again to what God clearly tells the Church of Jesus Christ, tells the people of God, our attitude and our perspective should be as it relates to the issue of life. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. You should write that down and go back and read this passage, and then go back and read it a second and a third and a fourth time. Listen clearly to what God is saying to you and to all of us as it relates to his perspective on the life issue. It's tragic that you have many people that say they love the Lord Jesus Christ, but aren't really looking to the Word of God for guidance on this issue. They're not really trying to find out, what does God really say about the issue of standing for life and against abortion? The Word of God is where we should begin and end with our perspective on this issue. Yet sadly, too many take their theology from the culture or from their political party, but they're not looking to the Word of God for God's clear counsel on this issue, and how tragic that really is. So again, that was Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Then in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13, one of the Ten Commandments clearly says, "You shall not murder." To murder is to take innocent life. So again, that's verse, very simply, one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus verse chapter 20, verse 13, "You shall not murder." Then in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12 tell us these words, "Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Surely we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds?" Again, chapter 24, Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Listen once again to what God clearly says about standing up on behalf of those that can't speak out for themselves. Proverbs 24:11-12. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? In Proverbs 31:8-9, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Once again, Proverbs 31:8-9, and notice clearly God is calling his church to stand up and speak out on behalf of those that cannot speak on behalf of themselves, who those precious, helpless babies can't speak out. They can't protest. They can't cry out on their own behalf saying, please don't take my life. God calls us, we the people of God, to do that for them. Again, Proverbs 31:8-9. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Jeremiah 1:4-5 tell us these words. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What a powerful set of scriptures that clearly point out that God knows us long before we're even conceived, much less conceived and born. He knew us when we were in our mother's wombs. Before that, he knew us, and he has plans for each and every one of us. And keep in mind, God has plans and purposes for every single life that he creates. What a tragedy it is for us to consider that when people take the lives of their children and a baby in the womb, not only does the baby die, but that child's destiny, that child's calling, that child's purpose in life dies with him or her as well. So God had purpose for Jeremiah long before he was born, as pointed out powerfully in Jeremiah 1:4-5. John 10:10 tells us, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And God clearly lays out the huge difference between the devil's job description and Jesus' job description. That verse clearly says Satan comes to steal from us, to kill us if he can, and to destroy us if he possibly can. That's what his goal is. And of course, the tragedy of abortion is killing innocent children. It's murdering the children. It's destroying their lives. It's stealing the life that God had given to them. But notice what Christ says he comes to do. He says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Christ comes to give us life, and not just life, but life abundantly as well. Then in 1 John 1:9, a very important truth that Scripture wants us to understand is found in this verse. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. In other words, keep in mind, all of us as human beings, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only human being that never sinned that walked the earth was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the truth here is profound and important to all of us. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. Today we look at the topic of mobilizing the church for life. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle.
Music of Michael W. Smith, the song simply entitled Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of mobilizing the church for life. Father, thank you again for every believer listening. Thank you for the opportunity we each have of being able to be witnesses for the cause of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Stir us as your church more and more with every passing day to be brighter, more passionately involved with the work of standing for life and against abortion. Help us, Lord, to end abortion in our time in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear as you simply tell us what you'd have us to do and how to do it. And thank you, Father, for the truth that that's how we see victory, as we get our guidance, our counsel, our wisdom, our strategy, always from you, from your Spirit. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, as we look at the topic of mobilizing the church for life, keep in mind every believer, all of us, there's something all of us can do to help end the tragedy of abortion in our culture. Well, we're looking at a couple more scriptures here. The one we read, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 tell us, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Again, verses 9, 10, and 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we sin and do wrong, including the tragic sin of abortion, if we confess our sins and repent of it and ask God to forgive us, He will do it. And He'll wash us clean of that sin. And so the men and women out there that have gone down that road, or men who've paid for abortions or forced or encouraged their spouses or their girlfriends to have abortions, persons who drove someone to a clinic, any of a number of different circumstances like that, maybe a person that accompanied someone to a clinic. Well, you know, the Bible clearly lets us know that we've all sinned, but the Lord Jesus Christ, He's able to cleanse us and wash us and make us brand new, wash us by His blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let me read that again. Again, that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." For any and all the wrong we've ever done, we can confess it to God, repent of it, ask Him to forgive us and to make us brand new, to wash us brand new. The Lord Jesus Christ, He will do it. And so for all sin, including the tragedy of abortion and all the others that were mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the Lord wants us to know if we confess our sins, repent of them, ask Him to forgive us, He will definitely do it. We serve a God that is full of compassion, loving kindness, mercy, and grace. Father, thank you again for each and every individual that may have gone down that road in their lives. Women and men who've gone down the tragic road of abortion. Lord, help them to recognize, Lord, if they simply confess their sin, repent of it, and ask you to forgive them, that you'll do it and that you'll wash them clean and make them brand new. Lord, help them to know that truth and to walk in it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, we shared the scriptures that we shared in the first segment as well as this one, that lay out a foundation for us to better understand what the Bible has to say about the need for the church to aggressively stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. All believers should stand on the side of life, and we're called to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God, representing God's heart in this regard. Well, just this past few days, my wife and I had a chance to represent the American Family Association at the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and what a powerful and tremendous event it was. And there was one estimate as conducted by the Students for Life of America organization. They estimated, based on their methods of estimating, that at least 225,000 people marched in the March for Life last Friday, which was the 24th of January. Again, 225,000 people. And the vast majority, and this was powerful for my wife Bernie and I to see, the vast majority of them were clearly young people, teenagers and young adults. And they were excited to be there. They were excited to have the opportunity to be a witness for life and a witness for the cause of standing powerfully and courageously for life. And so it was a powerful event indeed. There was a rally before the march itself started, a powerful rally in which several different individuals had the opportunity to share witness and words of encouragement to those that were present. And of course, one of the main speakers was the president of the United States, President Donald Trump. And here are just a few quotes from the very powerful speech that he shared. Some of the things he shared in his speech included, he stated, "Unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House." And of course, you know, the reality is this is the first time a sitting president came and addressed the March for Life in person at this rally. So what a historic event it really, really was. He came and spoke out on behalf of the issue of life, and again, a wonderful witness to the world and to our nation and to those present at the event as well. Another quote from his speech, he said, "Every person is worth protecting," and how that couldn't be more true. Every single person is worth protecting. He also stated this quote, "Every human soul is divine, and every human life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of Almighty God." And as I mentioned, President Trump was the first sitting president to actually personally address the March for Life. And that says a lot. The fact that he took the time and effort to come to the rally and speak, that was, again, another wonderful witness for the cause of life. The president, through his attending the event, was making a statement about how important this issue really is to him as well. So Presidents Ronald Reagan and President George Bush, they addressed the march by phone or audio hookups, but President Donald Trump was the first one to physically come and attend and address at the event itself. So again, what a blessing that really, really was. My challenge to every single listener is, remember, all of us can do something to get involved with standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. You know, if one was to ask the question, what should the church do to effectively and faithfully advocate for life? Well, there are many things we can do individually and collectively as the church as well. You know, we're to preach and teach the truth in love about the fact that God has called us to stand for life and against abortion. I think of, once again, that the scripture that I quoted earlier, one of the first scriptures I mentioned, specifically Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. "Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." So we must preach and teach the truth in love. We're not called to condemn, but to proclaim the truth to a world that's been deceived by darkness. There's so much deception in our world. So many times people will hear things that lead them in the wrong directions. Sadly, too many have listened to the lies of the world. You know, the fact is, as I quoted earlier, one of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not murder." That's very clear, very direct. God telling us it's wrong to take innocent life. Yet sadly, we live in a world where sometimes people seem to think that if you change the name from murder to reproductive rights or a woman's choice or some other smokescreen term like that, that somehow or another some people seem to think that it's justified to be able to take the life of their precious baby. But the fact is, you can change the name of something, but it doesn't change the nature of that thing, whatever it might be. And the reality is, murder is taking the life of an innocent human being. And so abortion is simply another word for murder. And so it's important that we understand that God has clearly told us, you shall not murder as well. So there's so much deception out there, and it's critical that we take our guidance and our counsel from the Word of God, which helps us know what's right, what's wrong, what honors God, and what does not honor God. You know, if we, the church, fail to preach and teach truth, people will be lost and ultimately will die in their sins, and also will reap the consequences of walking down a road of darkness and deception and wickedness. So it's important that we do speak and preach the truth. So often, important life decisions, such as the decision to keep and care for their own child, are based on what is deemed people, rather than, again, as I mentioned, instead of taking their guidance and counsel from God's word, too many are looking to their culture and to what is socially acceptable in their from their perspective. God's word has got to be the bottom line, and God has clearly told us, choose life, and he's told us, you shall not murder. That's very, very clear. So keep in mind, too, culture and society are typically deceived time and time again because they don't embrace the love of God, and they don't embrace the truth of God as well. Now, keep in mind, preaching and teaching are powerful and important tools for us to use. We don't stop there. We are to keep going as the Church of Jesus Christ. What else can we do? Well, another important area of ministry that the church can and should be heavily involved with is coming alongside and supporting the great work of pregnancy clinics in our community and our world. The reality is there are many communities that really need to have them that they don't. Well, believers listening, if you don't have a pregnancy clinic in your immediate community, you should pray about whether or not the Lord would have your church to start one, or maybe to have you start one as well, because pregnancy clinics provide a loving environment where women are counseled and encouraged and loved and appreciated, and they're encouraged to keep their baby, to consider keeping their child or placing the child for adoption. But these wonderful ministries, God has used them to save many, many babies throughout our cult, throughout our nation, and throughout the world as well. So I would challenge and encourage every single believer to do a few specific things that we'd encourage you to consider getting involved with or doing if you possibly can. First and foremost, I would encourage you, pray daily and faithfully for the ministry of your local pregnancy center. Pray for God's grace and mercy to be at work mightily in it and upon it. And also pray that the Spirit of God would just work through every aspect of the work and the ministry of your local pregnancy center. Keep in mind, as I said, God has used pregnancy clinics to save many, many babies. Many women who are very much abortion-minded come through these clinics. And especially when the mothers are able to see an ultrasound, it's been said that 8 out of 10 women will choose life for their babies if they get to see an ultrasound before, And it's powerful to see. Truth, again, works mightily through the wonderful tool of an ultrasound. So pray daily for the ministry and work of your local pregnancy center. Be mindful that lots of spiritual warfare happens in and around each of these precious places of ministry. Secondly, give generously to the work of your local pregnancy center. Give as an individual believer, or you can encourage your church to get involved with supporting the pregnancy clinic. Maybe a single gift or a monthly gift, but encouraging churches and individuals. And remember, all of us could choose, if we would prayerfully consider it, could choose to give financially to support the wonderful work of pregnancy clinics as well. Also, lots of these pregnancy clinics use volunteer help tremendously. They get much, much help and much mileage out of volunteers that will come to give of their time to help them with the work that they do. I would challenge every single believer listening, regularly go and help to volunteer at your local pregnancy center. God uses volunteers wonderfully to help support and continue and further the work of pregnancy centers. Also, keep in mind, you can donate baby items for your local pregnancy center. It could be diapers, or baby clothes, baby wipes, or any of many other types of accessories that are a blessing to a young mom with a young child. And so giving baby items to pregnancy centers is a wonderful, wonderful outreach, a wonderful way to be involved in this great work. Regularly inquire about other ways your church fellowship can help pregnancy clinics. So those are just a few things that we can do. But remember, the work of pregnancy centers are so important. And a whole other side that sometimes some people may not be aware of as we look at the work that pregnancy clinics do, the fact is to lots and lots of evangelism and discipleship and pastoral care happens through the work and ministry of pregnancy clinics. Many people, many women and men, have gotten saved through the wonderful ministry of these pregnancy clinics. And I recall speaking to a director of a pregnancy clinic in the Mississippi Delta in the Clarksdale community. She'd indicated that at least 500 people had gotten saved over a period of years through the ministry of that local pregnancy center. And that's a whole lot more people than many churches may not be able to say that they helped to come to know Christ as well. We need to support the work, the wonderful work of these pregnancy centers. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic of mobilizing the church for life. We'll be right back. Music of Dunson Oyekan. If all I say is Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of mobilizing the church for life. And as we mentioned, January is Sanctity of Human Life's month. And we're encouraging every single believer to prayerfully get much more involved with the work of passionately standing for life. You know, there's something all of us can do, something that every single one of us certainly can do. We're challenging and encouraging you to get more active as an individual believer, but also prayerfully try to find out what your church does to stand for life. You know, sometimes churches may have activities and the members of the church don't even know what their local church is doing. But also there may be times in which the local church that you may be a part of may not really be doing much. And you may be the person God will use to help stir your church to get more involved with doing what God would have them to do to stand for life. So there's something each and every one of us can do. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of believers are not aware of so much of the work that pregnancy centers do, as we were speaking of earlier, as I alluded to, pregnancy clinics provide a safe, loving, and warm environment for a woman who finds herself in a crisis pregnancy center. They love these women by providing wise and positive counseling and letting them know that there are ways to help, to get the help they need to keep their baby or to lovingly consider placing their baby up for adoption. And keep in mind, adoption is a wonderful option to consider as well. There are many a child that were adopted after their parents didn't feel that they were in position to raise their child. And time again, these children are so, so grateful that their birth mothers chose life, chose the opportunity to place them for adoption so that they could be raised by a loving family. And so also keep in mind, these local pregnancy centers provide their services for free at no charge to the clients, to the women that come there, and often will provide, as we mentioned earlier, free baby items for the expecting moms to receive, as well as many times for the moms even after the baby is born. So please pray daily for your local pregnancy center. And if you don't know where it is, find out where it is, because you want to be able to refer people who find themselves in a pregnant and in a difficult place in their life. Be able to know where it is and to be able to refer people to it in your local community. And as I mentioned too, if there's not one in your immediate community, pray about whether or not the Lord would have you to be involved with the work of helping to start one in your local community as well. Hope that you'll take time to do that. I've shared about in the past a wonderful tool that we call the Dear Parent Letter. It's a letter that was produced by the Justice Foundation, a great legal pro-life ministry that's in Texas. And simply the Dear Parent Letter simply states that, and I'm condensing the message tremendously, but basically explains that if a mother, no matter what her age is, whether she's 13 years old or 35 years old, if the mother wants to keep her baby, no father or mother, no grandfather, grandmother, no boyfriend, no husband, no one can legally coerce that person, that woman, to get an abortion. So it's against the law, but lots of people don't know that law. So getting the letter and sharing the letter is a wonderful, wonderful thing that you can do to help save babies. And say you get the letter and you download it from thejusticefoundation.org, again, thejusticefoundation.org. You can download the letter from that website, and you can email it to maybe a dozen people that you know. You can make copies and take them to your local middle schools and local high school counselors and principals' offices, because time and time again, school officials don't know the law in this regard. You can actually even take them to local, your local police departments as well, because many times the policemen themselves don't know the law on this particular issue. And the fact is, if you'll do that faithfully, God is going to use you to save babies, because many people don't realize how many babies have sadly been aborted when the young mom wanted to keep her baby, but her parents insisted that she get an abortion, or the mother wanted to keep her baby, but the boyfriend or the husband just insisted. Well, that's against the law. Whether it's a father or a mother or a boyfriend or husband, if they're trying to coerce her against her will and she wants to keep her baby, it's against the law, and they can actually be prosecuted for doing that as well. So knowing the law is important. So the letter is a wonderful tool, and every single listener could download the letter. Again, thejusticefoundation.org, or email me at jparker@afa.net. I'd be glad to send you a copy of the letter as well. The Justice Foundation has similar letters that also speak not just to parents, but also letters that speak to the boyfriend or the husband involved or guardian in some capacity. So it's a wonderful tool, and you're wise to put it to use. I often like to share the instance where one day after starting to distribute the letter, we had a phone call from a 17-year-old young lady in another state who she basically said, "My parents have scheduled me to get an abortion tomorrow. I want to keep my baby. Can you help?" Well, all that we did was we emailed her the letter, and so that she did receive it the next day after not having heard from her right away, called just to check on her. And when I called her, she and her mom were actually at the abortion clinic. She had the letter that we sent her, but she hadn't shown her mom. And we encouraged her, "Please show your mom the letter." Well, she did show her mom the letter, and her mom was not happy, but that no abortion, an abortion was not done on her that day. And the clinic workers knew also they could not do this abortion because the mother did not want it to happen. But they did do an ultrasound, and they found out this 17-year-old girl was carrying twins. So the Holy Spirit used the letter to save not just one baby that day, but two babies. Get the Dear Parent letter, justicefoundation.org, download it, take it to local schools, to local school counselors, to other places, pull it up, put it on bulletin boards in churches, youth departments, other places. As you faithfully do that, God will use you to help save babies. Keep in mind, too, we live in a world that sadly, many, many people seem to think that it's so important that they keep abortion in place, that they keep it legal. And you know, an important question needs to be asked, why do people approach abortion that way? Why do so many people want to keep abortion legalized? Well, sadly, many people have made abortion an idol. They worship at the quote unquote, they worship the golden calf of abortion and are willing to fight tooth and nail to keep it in place. And that is so tragic because remember, abortion, it's murder any way you look at it. It's taking the life of an innocent, precious baby. Yet sadly, you have many people, and many of them even are in the church, that will support the tragic and the very wicked work of abortion. Well, so for a lot of people, some of the reasons that they're adamant about it is because, amongst other things, abortion is a big money-making business. Many times people don't realize how expensive one single abortion is, and the fact is they do them and largely making large amounts of money on these precious women. And so it's important that you aware one of the issues is money. The Word of God lets us know the love of money is the root of all evil. And so that's certainly a major factor in the abortion industry. For others, keeping abortion legal is important to them because it's an easy way out of what in their mind is a difficult situation. Many people want to keep it in place so they can keep their quote unquote financial benefits, while others depend on it as a quote unquote convenient tool to use whenever and however they choose to need or want it. So the support, sadly, for abortion is significant because people want to keep the sad idol of abortion legal. And so many times their perspective is, don't you dare even think about overturning Roe v. Wade. Well, the reality is, by the grace of God, Roe v. Wade will be overturned soon. And as believers, we're to pray towards that end. Also, another wise step you and I can take is we can pray the Ten Commandments daily for the church and over our nation as well. Let's take a moment to do that now. Father, Lord, thank you for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to serve you. Thank you for our nation as well. Help us as the church and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and as a nation to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, I would challenge every single listener to pray the Ten Commandments in that way over you, over the church and over our nation every single day. And keep in mind, the devil will try to tell you, well, a little prayer like that doesn't make any difference at all. Well, actually, it makes huge difference because remember, every day you pray, God is going to respond. God is going to answer that prayer, and he's going to use your prayer to provide seeds that will help bring to pass what you're praying about. So don't ever listen to the lies of the enemy when he tries to tell you your prayers aren't making any difference. Your prayers always make a difference as we pray in line with the Word of God and as we pray in faith. Let's take time to do that on a daily basis. So keep in mind, we as believers are called to be diligent and passionate about faithfully standing for life. And let me suggest some things our time comes to an end, some things you and I, all of us can do to help be strong witnesses for life. Number one, firmly stand on the truth of God's word and trust the Lord when it comes to this issue and all issues as well. Number two, pray without ceasing in spiritual combat every single day for the cause of life. Pray for women that go to abortion clinics to change their mind. And pray that those that go to get ultrasounds at pregnancy clinics will choose life for their babies as well. Those are wise things to pray for. Pray that God would move upon the Supreme Court and upon our leaders to choose righteous laws that honor the Lord and that respect life, and to not pass legislation that will lead to the ending of life through abortion as well. Thirdly, faithfully and passionately support the work of pregnancy clinics, as we've been speaking about earlier. Go volunteer, give financially, but do what you can to help support the work of these precious and powerful ministries. A fourth thing you and I can do is faithfully speak out against abortion and have events in your local church that help educate people about the tragedy of abortion and what alternatives are out there to abortion, and events that stir us to better understand God's heart and mind on this issue as well. I would remind you, the event, the Festival for Life, is an event that we sponsor here, that we do them as often as the Lord opens the door. It's a multimedia event that shares and encourages the church to do two things: to passionately come alongside and work with local pregnancy centers, and number two, it encourages individual believers in the church to become passionately involved with the work of standing for life and against abortion. Those are a couple different things that the Festival for Life event helps to accomplish. If you'd like to get in touch with us about having that event to come to your community, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or call us at 662-844-5036, extension 381. We've been looking today at the topic of mobilizing the church for life. Individually and collectively as the Church of Jesus Christ, we can end the tragedy of abortion by the power of God. Let's plan and expect God to help us to do that. Lord, stir us as the church to be the church you want us to be, boldly standing for life and against abortion. Use us to bring an end to the tragedy of abortion soon in our nation and our world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.